Have you ever wanted to play the perfect tabletop game, where story beats run smoothly, and there's no awkward pauses between dice rolls? Yeah, me too. But since that's impossible, I did the next best thing, and novelized my Witcher tabletop game to showcase the story in its cleanest form. The result is this podcast. I'm Jacob Gerstel, and this is Tales from the Witcher. Part audiobook, part actual play, part serialized adventure, and a whole new way to vicariously enjoy tabletop games. Welcome to the world of The Witcher, where monsters roam freely and the continent is once again at war. If you were hoping to follow the plight of Geralt of Rivia, however, I'm not going to be doing that. Instead, I offer you the story of a not-so-merry band of degenerates who are making their way across the continent. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Honest End. 5. Under the moon and stars, Jeremiah got a good look at the Kingslayer. He was a mountain of muscle, well over 6 feet, bald and dull-faced and scarred. Two knives strapped to the front of his leather jerkin, and two great swords on his back, a silver medallion around his neck, in the shape of a hissing viper. He certainly matched the description of that witcher, Letho of Gullet, the mutant that assassinated Jeremiah's king and got away with it, the mutant that plunged the north into chaos just before Nilfgaard invaded, and he stood not 10 strides away from Jeremiah. It took all his strength not to attack the Witcher where he stood. He would likely get killed for the effort, but what else could he do? Letho was a monster, and deserved the same fate as one. There may come a time, the craftsman thought, but not now. Letho's companion could not have looked more different. Guess of Lyria was short and thin and handsome. His face was all angles, with a pointed chin, sharp cheekbones, and golden hair brushed back from his square forehead. He was similarly covered in knives, on his chest, his belt, his pants, and his boots. His yellow eyes regarded Jeremiah curiously. Guess had said that he and Letho were in the sewers all day hunting a monster that lived on human waste called a Zugul, but had come up empty. Jeremiah took this with a grain of salt. He'd heard of the School of the Viper. Witchers from there had a reputation for being unscrupulous assassins, taking contracts on humans if the pay was good. Perhaps they really were hunting a monster in the sewers, or perhaps they were there for another reason. That's when Jeremiah realized with growing fear that, for the first time in his life, he was outnumbered by mutants. He wondered, not for the first time and not for the last time, if breaking into a lander was a deadly mistake. Needless to say, he kept a close eye on the vipers. They all stood pressed against a ramshackle home, under the cover of darkness. Letho and Guess led them out of the sewers and into the outer city. Jeremiah didn't understand why they called it the Outer City at first. Then he saw the circular wall ringing the core of the circular city, splitting a lander in two. They were on the outside, looking in. "There's a strict curfew once the sun goes down," Guess whispered. He pulled his hood up. "Only soldiers and laborers are allowed out. We'll have to move cautiously. Where are you all headed?" "If memory serves," Ethramel said, "there should be an inn named the Bulwark, on the southeastern side of town. At least there was one 30 years ago. The owner's a friend." "You've been all over, it seems," Zeva remarked. The sorcerer shrugged. "I've lived longer than you, Witcher. You get around in 153 years.
"Shh."
Guess put a finger to his mouth and pressed against the wall, urging the others to do the same. The sound of marching followed. A patrol of 6 armored soldiers passed down the uneven street, heading in the opposite direction. Guess led the way once the coast was clear. He padded silently across the street. Letho and Zevo followed, then Jeremiah and Ethramel. The outer city of Alander looked to be a collection of sagging hovels stacked on top of each other, separated only by winding and trash-covered streets. They moved in a start-and-stop fashion, waiting in the dark for patrols to pass before running to the next street. It was a slow, nerve-fraying process. No one spoke for obvious reasons. Not far now, Ethramel eventually whispered, peering around the corner of a rotted house that looked like it was about to collapse in on itself. He pointed to a squat building 2 streets over. Guess nodded. No patrol. Let's move. They moved. Guess, Letho, and Zevo made it across the scum-covered street with no issue. Jeremiah gathered his breath and sprinted across, his legs burning. He made it to the other side, just as a patrol rounded the corner, and marched towards Ethramel. The sorcerer froze for an instant, then adopted the posture of a drunkard shambling slowly across the street. He pretended not to give the approaching soldiers any heed, but Jeremiah saw him tense up as they passed, his fists clenching and unclenching, his lips slowly moving. Yet the guards passed without so much as looking in Ethramel's direction. The puzzled sorcerer looked over his shoulder at the soldiers marching away. You really should be more careful. Jeremiah recognized the voice instantly. From the shadows up the street stepped a dark-skinned woman in a dark green dress. Yana of Edirne, the ageless sorceress that saved the craftsman's life more than once when he was a hard-scrabble teenager living on the streets of Vengerberg. And at Yana's side was a woman Jeremiah initially mistook for a corpse. Her skin was pallid, her black hair dull. She wore a tattered black dress, so faded it was practically gray, with colorful patches that were fraying as well. She wore a similarly ratty cloak and hood. Hanging from her belt, periodically tapping against her left thigh, was a small, silver hand mirror. Curiously, the reflective surface was scratched out with long white streaks, as if an animal had mauled it. Yana, Ethramel said after a moment, I should have suspected it was your glamour. Yana's rouged lips broke into a grin. Is that sarcasm? Perhaps I shouldn't have hid you from the soldiers. Might have taught you a good lesson. Who's that? Guess of Lyria asked Zevo. Our employer, the Witcher grunted. And a sorceress, Letho growled. He nudged Guess. I think they're more than capable of getting where they need to go. Aye. Guess patted Zevo on the shoulder and grinned. It was good to see you, old friend. We'll be going our own way now. Stay safe, will you? You as well, Guess. Jeremiah watched the two witchers steal away into the dark. He sighed and turned back to Yana. Can't say I expected to find you here. Who's your companion? Yana looked at the scarecrow woman. She's my apprentice. Apprentice? Jeremiah had known Yana for half his life, and he'd never known her to take on an apprentice, and several fledgling magic users had tried over the years. Since when? I'm new, the apprentice said with a smirk. Since I returned from the Mahakam summit, Yana added, I found her skulking around my home in Edirne like a stray cat. I felt as grimy as a stray cat, the apprentice said in a bright tone. I hid in your bushes, waiting, for nearly a month. Ethramel tilted his head at the pallid woman. That's a long time. You must have been eager to learn. The apprentice gave a mock curtsy, and Yana cleared her throat. Let's get to safety first, yes? Then we can talk at our leisure. Where were you all headed? The bulwark, Ethramel said, pointing to the squat inn. Yana nodded and walked towards it, quite brazenly down the street. Her apprentice padded along. Stay close to me if you wish to be concealed. Zevo growled, but followed. Jeremiah couldn't help but smile. It was nice seeing Yana, even if it was under stressful conditions. The bulwark was a run-down inn in the shadow of the outer wall. The interior was small, and the roof looked like it could collapse at any moment. The wormwood-eaten tables wobbled at the slightest touch. A roach skittered by Jeremiah's boot as Ethramel approached the innkeeper behind the bar. Excuse me, does Osric still own this establishment? The elf asked. The innkeeper was middle-aged, with wispy brown hair and a paunch. He shook his head without looking up from the glass he was polishing. Not for 8 years. The old man's passed on, rest his soul. I'm his son. Ah, then that would make you... Ethramel drummed his fingers against the sticky bar. Yorick? But it can't be. Last time I saw you, you were scarcely older than 10. The innkeeper looked up, and his eyes widened at the sorcerer. He blinked and said, Is that... Ethramel on tread? The very same. Have you been, Yorick? Yorick the innkeeper patted the elf on the back and said, It's been so long. What brings you here? Too long. And business brings me here. Might you have rooms for me and my companions? Yorick looked at said companions. A motley assortment, Jeremiah thought. A witcher, a scarred craftsman, a sorceress, and a woman that looked like a scarecrow. Of course, York said without hesitation. He waved to the four. Any friend of Ethermel is a friend of mine. You know, he saved me and my family from a fire at this very inn 30 years ago. I wouldn't be here without him. A fire he likely started in a drunken stupor, Jeremiah couldn't help but think, but he forced himself to grin. If you could provide food and drink, Ethermel said to York, me and my companions have some matters to discuss. He paused, sniffed at his clothes, then added, and prepare a few baths as well. Right away. The five of them took a seat near the back, though Jeremiah didn't fear any of the half-dozen drunks in the common room eavesdropping on them. Yana tucked into a bowl of stew she was given. Her apprentice pulled back her hood, and Jeremiah was struck by how young she looked. She couldn't have been older than 22. She, evidently the dutiful apprentice, followed Yana's lead and slurped up her soup with delight. Jeremiah only realized how hungry he was after his first spoonful of stew, and was happy for the moment of silence. When everyone had eaten their fill, the sorceress sat back and picked at her teeth. So how goes the task I've set you on? Any information on the Gutter Rebellion?
We had a run-in with them not a week ago, Jeremiah said. Tried to ambush us on the Ismena River.
Did they? Well, since you're here, I can't imagine it ended well for the rebels. When Jeremiah shook his head, Yana waved her hand in an impatient motion. Well, go on. What have you learned thus far?
It's led by someone calling themselves the Gutter King, Jeremiah said. Though it's unclear exactly who that is, if they exist at all.
And our friends seem more keen on a more representative government, Ethermel added with a chuckle. They spoke of carving out a free kingdom in the Pontar Valley.
Nothing new there, Yana said. I fear they have the manpower to pull it off. Their numbers are growing across the north. Our friend Arthur of Garamore said the same thing, Jeremiah said. It seems the rebels are active in every northern kingdom.
Anything else? Yana asked.
We found this off one of the rebels we killed.
Zevo slid a piece of parchment across the table. Yana unrolled it and saw a map of the Pontar, marked with two red circles, at seemingly random locations, near the Pontar River in the Kingdom of Redania.
Interesting, the sorceress said. Any ideas what the circles mean?
Zevo shrugged. Well, good work, Yana said. Jeremiah, would you mind joining me in my room for a moment? The sorceress stood up without waiting for an answer. Now hold on, Ethermel said. He jabbed a finger at Yana's apprentice. Aren't you going to tell us more about your friend? Yana squinted at her shrugging companion.
Who? Silva? She's my apprentice, so she's sticking with me wherever I go. She could tell you her whole life story if she'd like. Now's as good a time as any to get to know her.
If I spilled all my secrets, I'd expect... What's the phrase you're fond of using, Yana?
Ah, yes. Quid pro quo.
Silva finger-combed her dark hair as she regarded each of Jeremiah's companion. Is this lot full of open books?
Absolutely not, especially the elf.
Yana leaned down and mock-whispered into Silva's ear.
I'd watch him if I was you. I suspect he's jealous of your position.
Silva laughed. Ethermel pushed his drink away, stood up and said, I think I'll head out and take a nice, long walk.
Pity, Silva said, watching Ethermel leave the inn.
She turned to Zevo. Just you and me, then?
Sure, Zevo said, but I can only offer you a quid pro quo on silence.
The witcher tilted the mug to his lips and drank noisily. Silva looked up at Yana and said, Spare me. You sure I can't come with you?
You'll live, my dear apprentice. Part of your training is learning to deal with long stretches of boredom.
Yana crooked her thumb upstairs and said to Jeremiah, Now let's go. Sad to say, the rooms at the bulwark were no better than the common room. Yana inspected the cramped room with distaste before sitting on the sagging bed and pointing to a darkened corner of the room.
There's a roach over there. Please kill it for me.
Jeremiah crunched the fat roach with his boot. He wiped its green guts on the yellowed wallpaper.
How have you been, Yana?
Yana rubbed her eyes, smudging her eyeshadow some.
I've been better. This Gutter Rebellion business is tiring, Jeremiah. How are you?
I've also been better.
Jeremiah put a hand to his side without thinking.
It's good to see you again.
Yana grinned crookedly. I was thinking the same thing. Not getting in too much trouble, I hope.
Nothing I can't handle.
Why do I have trouble believing you?
Because you've saved me from more scrapes than I can count in my younger and more vulnerable years. The sorceress raised her index finger to indicate that Jeremiah had stumbled upon the right answer. Well, now's your chance to pay back some of that debt. As you may have guessed, I am not in this sieged city by chance, as I have guessed. My own investigation has led me to believe that there's more than a few gutter rebels slinking around in a lander, supplying the rebellion across the Pontar River. Yana sighed and ran a hand through her dark hair. Do you remember that diplomat we discovered that was also hunting for the Marstone at the Mahakam Mountain? Kenneth? Jeremiah did, though he had more difficulty remembering any of Kenneth's features. The Redanian diplomat looked unassuming incarnate. No doubt he used that to his advantage, when he contracted two assassins to steal an artifact that amplified one's magical power, the Marstone. Fortunately, Jeremiah had bravely foiled Kenneth's plot and delivered the Marstone into Yana's capable hands. I learned from his superior, Arian Lavalette, that Kenneth was a gutter rebel as well. Yana's face screwed into distaste. Sent by the Gutter King to retrieve the Marstone. What does the Gutter King want with the Marstone? Jeremiah asked. Yana sighed and rubbed her cheek. I don't know. I learned all this secondhand and after the fact. I only know that Kenneth named a few prominent gutter rebels in the city of Alander. But Arian Lavalette, bless his honorable soul, executed him before getting more specifics on the Marstone. Jeremiah felt a sharp pain bolt through his guts, and it wasn't from the usual pain in his side. No, this was traditional anxiety, brought on by a troubling thought. Yana, he said, if the Gutter King is looking for the Marstone, that means he's looking for you. If you get caught... Jeremiah trailed off, and Yana simply stared back at him with dulled eyes. Finally, she said softly, what else am I supposed to do? What? Who else could I entrust the Marstone to? Who else could I send to investigate the Gutter Rebellion in my stead? No one is taking this threat seriously. It has to be me, Jeremiah. No one else can do this. The craftsman kept quiet. He never thought Yana looked her age before this moment. He saw decades of exhaustion behind her eyes, the kind of exhaustion brought about from long stretches of loneliness, where your thoughts were your only companion. Jeremiah understood that exhaustion well. He always assumed Yana had a vast network of spies and magical companions she could rely on. It never crossed his mind that she was shouldering the burden of stopping Ithlin's prophecy alone. This all should have been obvious, Jeremiah thought. She's depending on you and Zevo and Ethramel after all. Still not exactly my first choice. Yana no doubt sensed this unsettling thought, because she straightened up and said, I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Your concern means the world, it really does. But I don't even have the Marstone on me. I've hidden it in a secure location only I know, so even if I was caught by the Gutter Rebellion, they wouldn't... You're right, let's just drop it, Jeremiah said, knowing full well he wouldn't be able to rid his head of these thoughts anytime soon. He cleared his throat and tried to shift the subject, ever so slightly. So you came to Alander yourself to look into these prominent Gutter Rebels Kenneth mentioned? Yana nodded and started taking off her shoes. The rebels are Celine Taub and Lily Armfell. They reside in the inner city. If you know their names and where they are, why do you need me? Yana frowned at Jeremiah's curtness. I ran into a slight problem. They're both members of the Alander Company of Crafters. Lily is its chief bookkeeper, and Celine runs the whole damn organization. The Alander Company of Crafters? It's the, local craftsman guild. Jeremiah understood where this was going. And you need someone with knowledge of this trade to infiltrate this guild and gain Celine and Lily's trust. Exactly. Glamour is all surface level. It can only help me look the part. It can't help me forge a sword or give me working knowledge of billows and such. Jeremiah did something he didn't suspect he'd do even 10 seconds before. He broke into laughter. Don't laugh, Yana said, throwing a shoe lightly at him. But how could he not? Jeremiah had known Yana for over 20 years, and not once could he remember her being less knowledgeable on a subject than him. Yet in this one regard, he had the upper hand. So you need the finest crafter you've ever known to help you out. It's something, in fact, you can't do without this crafter. Who again is the best you've ever known? The sorceress gave a wry smile. Yes, Jeremiah Keller, you are correct. I need the finest craftsman on the continent to help me. Yana's smile faltered, descended into a soft frown. Tears welled into her eyes unbidden, and her voice wavered as she screwed the heel of her palms into her eyes to wipe them away.
I'm sorry.
Jeremiah sat on the bed next to Yana and patted her shoulder.
It's all right.
I don't know that. That's what's so frustrating, Yana said. She moved her hands from her eyes, but the tears were still there.
This is the only lead I have on the rebellion. What if these rebels don't know anything? The whole organization is so damn secretive. What if I'm wrong about all of this?
If you're wrong, then we'll handle it, like we always do.
I wish there was an easier way to get to the rebels, but I fear a smash-and-grab interrogation would be more dangerous and alert the Gutter King to our presence,
Yana said.
Still, this way puts you in greater danger.
The craftsman shrugged. This was just another risk, certainly no more deadly than sneaking into a sieged city.
No need to apologize. I'll help you. What kind of friend would I be if I didn't?
The sorceress wiped her nose with the back of her hand and nodded, straightening her back.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Any idea where I should begin? I doubt I can go speak to the head of a guild without someone to vouch for me.
Yes. Start with Jalduk Briga. He's the guild's master metalworker, a dwarf that works in the outer city.
I'll find him tomorrow morning.
Please be careful.
You know me. Cautious as a field mouse.
Yana chuckled and wiped away the last of her tears. They sat together for a moment of silence. Then Yana said,
I saw Duke Haggard not too long ago.
Oh? And how is my old mentor?
Well enough. He's commanding 500 men at the Mahakam Pass. They're dug in, ready to repel any black cloaks that invade Temeria through Edirne.
He's mostly bored, though.
He asked after you. Send him a letter when you have a chance.
I certainly will.
Jeremiah winced and touched his side. Yana reached over and gently scooped up the arrowhead necklace Jeremiah had fashioned.
When did you get this? In Mahakam?
It was from Ezra's crossbow, from the bolt that punctured his side. Carmignola had dug it out, and Jeremiah asked to keep it. He kept it as a necklace because... he wasn't entirely sure why, actually. Jeremiah was never a superstitious man, but something told him he should hold on to it. For a moment, Jeremiah thought to tell Yana everything about his supposed curse. She was still his oldest and closest friend. Nothing would ever change that. Then Jeremiah remembered what Brother Morgan had told him in the town of Tarnow.
You are cursed, Jeremiah Keller. This aura won't disappear. Even now I see it as clearly as I see these flames.
And fear overtook him. Not fear of the curse, but fear of Yana confirming that it actually was a curse, instead of just a pesky wound taking its time to heal. So instead of telling her everything, he said, in a tone indicating he wanted to end the subject,
Aye.
Yana nodded. Get some sleep, Jeremiah. You look like you need it. Jeremiah tried to sleep that night, but he could not. The same nightmare of him getting vivisected by a ghastly Ezra plagued him. He sat up in the middle of the night, clutching his aching side.
I'm not plowing cursed,
Jeremiah thought with gritted teeth. These were the thoughts he held in the light of day, but in the dark of night, another thought took shape, one that was far more pervasive.
Looks like these nightmares are here to stay.
That'll do it for this episode of Tales from The Witcher. This podcast is written and produced by Jacob Gerstel. The Witcher novels are by Andrzej Sapkowski, The Witcher games are by CD Projekt Red, and The Witcher tabletop RPG is by R. Talsorian Games. The music is by Eric Matias at soundimage.org. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, and to spread the word of this podcast far and wide. You can follow the podcast at TalesWitcherPod on X, or at talesfromthewitcher.buzzsprout.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week.